one of the Chicago neighborhoods was named among the coolest in the world by Forbes. The ranking was made by travel experts who dubbed the best neighborhoods to explore right now. Chicago is a city known for its vibrant and diverse neighborhoods, which is what we're going to be talking about. What neighborhoods did you grow up in Chicago? And we're also going to be talking about the history of some of the neighborhoods and how they got their name, which is always really fun and interesting. We're just going to reminisce and talk about your neighborhoods and some of the neighborhoods that you've lived in Chicago. 312-981-7200. They have vibrant and diverse neighborhoods, but one in particular is standing out above the rest. Pilsen is Chicago's Lower West Side. On Chicago's Lower West Side, has been dubbed one of the 12 coolest neighborhoods in the world by Forbes. The ranking was made by travel experts. The neighborhood made the list for its streets lined with hip galleries and walls decorated with colorful murals, according to Melissa Biggs Bradley, founder of travel site Indigare Pilsen. Pilsen is a nest of cutting-edge culture and art. Other neighborhoods on the list included Barcelona's Sants, Washington, D.C.'s Navy Yard, Amsterdam's Amsterdam Nord, and Cartagena and Gethsemane, among others. So there you go. How about that? Dan, that's pretty impressive. In the world.
In the world.
Yeah. Pilsen is pretty cool, I have to say. It is. A lot of cool stuff in Pilsen. Esmeralda, you ever get out to Pilsen? You get to Pilsen every once in a while, right?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. There's a lot of really cool stuff there. And also, as I mentioned before, that barbecue joint. What the hell is the name of that barbecue joint that I always forget that we got the candied bacon at when we were waiting in line for the John Carpenter? Big Dad? Not Big Daddy, no. I can't remember the name of it. It's in Pilsen, barbecue place in Pilsen with the candied bacon. And it's, I mean, that's all I've had. I've actually never had
Honky Tonk.
Honky Tonk, that's it. Honky, you ever been there, Esmeralda?
I have not, no.
Okay, well, if you go there, get the candied bacon. You'll never leave. All right, we're going to take a break, and now we got the news coming up next, and then we're going to talk about neighborhoods. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. It's Triple Play Thursday. Triple Play Thursday! Get your requests in now. That's one artist, three songs. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. Get those requests in now. 312-981-7200. Margaret in Bridgeport requesting Elton John. This, of course, is I'm Still Standing. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18th floor at 303 East Wacker here in downtown Chicago. And welcome back to the show. So, Pilsen has been named one of the 12 best neighborhoods in the world by Forbes magazine. And we have a lot of great neighborhoods in this city, in Chicago. And I want to talk about them, talk about some of the history of them. And if you grew up or live in a specific neighborhood that you like, and what do you like about it? And it is, you know, Chicago is a city of really cool and diverse neighborhoods. And there are so many of them to hang out in and to live in. And we want to talk about that. And I have some of the stories on how some of the names were chosen for these neighborhoods. The other thing I was mentioning to Dan when we were driving in, Dan, is that it seems like new neighborhoods are invented every year.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Like they feel, you know, was there ever a Ravenswood Manor? I don't think there was. When did Ravenswood Manor become an actual neighborhood? And it's a cool place. It's a cool area. But I mean, that's relatively new, you know, and Wrigleyville. Now, listen, when I grew up at basically Addison and Ravenswood. And that's basically where I grew up. Now, that would be west. I mean, when I was, if I remember correctly, when I was a kid, that was West Lakeview. And now that if you go, is Ravenswood Manor, though, is north of that, right? So Addison and Ravenswood now is still West Lakeview, right? And, or does it extend to Wrigleyville? How far west does Wrigleyville go?
According to Wikipedia, Ravenswood Manor is bordered by the Chicago River on the east, by the alley south of Lawrence Avenue on the north,
oh, okay.
Sacramento Avenue on the west, and the alley north of Montrose on the south.
Oh, so okay. So, yeah, it's north of where I grew up. So, but yeah, so it was West Lakeview when I grew up. By the way, when I was growing up, there was no Wrigleyville. It wasn't Wrigleyville. We would walk the seven blocks to go to Wrigley Field, and we'd end up in regular Lakeview because it was like West Lakeview from where I was. I think Lakeview started, I want to say Lakeview started at maybe Ashland. East of Ashland, that's where Lakeview began, and west of Ashland was West Lakeview until you got, I think, to Western, maybe? Yeah. But yeah, so I grew up in what was West Lakeview, which is now, you know, I think regular Lakeview or Wrigleyville. I'm not really sure. But it wasn't Wrigleyville, man. I mean, in fact, when I was growing up in the 70s, Lakeview was not a good neighborhood. It was a pretty crappy neighborhood, and it was kind of a bad neighborhood with a crappy baseball team playing in the middle of it. That was basically that's what it was. And now it's like real estate, you know, crazy. The rents are through the roof. It's called Wrigleyville. It's hip. You know, it's one of the liveliest and hip neighborhoods, most expensive stuff in the world there. And the baseball team won a World Series a couple of years ago. That was not the case when I was growing up. It was not a spectacular place to live. And I used to work at the Jewels on Southport there. It was the smallest Jewel, you know, in the city with 12 aisles. Now, you've seen the Jewel that's there now.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's huge, and it's got indoor parking. The Music Box was a theater that showed crappy movies when I was growing up and was closed for a period and was run down. So everything in that, it's just so crazy. And now I don't even recognize Addison and Clark anymore. Besides, you know, other than Wrigley Field, that intersection, the intersection that I walked to a million times when I was a kid, is unrecognizable now. But it's interesting how neighborhoods change and how gentrification happens, and that's exactly what happened to Wrigleyville. But yeah, it was fun growing up there. It was an interesting neighborhood to grow up in, I can tell you that much. But yeah, it was a crappy neighborhood when I was. A lot of gangbangers, you know, a lot of sketchy areas, you know. Yeah, and the Cubs sucked, and you could go there and pay $5 to get in, and you're there. You know, you didn't have to wait, and you don't have to pay $70 to get into the place and all that stuff, so. But, yeah, so that's where I grew up. Now, here are the neighborhoods that I lived in. I want to ask you guys what neighborhoods you lived in. Esmeralda, you moved to Chicago when you went to college, right? So were you living in the DePaul area?
Yeah, I was in Lincoln Park.
You were in Lincoln Park at that time. Whereabouts?
DePaul.
Oh, you lived at DePaul?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. All right. Now, when you moved out from DePaul, what was the first neighborhood you moved into?
Lakeview.
Whereabouts?
Belmont and I want to say it's not school.
School doesn't school run the same way as Belmont?
Yeah, whatever that, I don't know what the cross street is.
Okay. Were you near Lincoln or were you, you know, the whole Belmont and Lincoln?
No, I was a few streets over from the Red Line.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, and then you moved, you were in Lakeview. How long were you in Lakeview?
Just a year.
And then where'd you go?
And then I went to Edgewater. And then from there, went to Lincoln Square. And then to where I am now, Albany Park.
And you're in Albany Park. Where in Lincoln Square did you live?
Right under Hooten Bar.
Oh,
so
wow.
Right on, okay. Lincoln.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Was that fun living there? Because I love that neighborhood.
Yeah, it was interesting. I never actually really went into Hooten Bar, which is funny.
Yeah.
Because I was working at a bar already, so it was like, I don't need to go to another bar.
I understand. Yeah. I used to hang out Lincoln Square all the time, and my watering hole was Ricochet's on the corner of Eastwood and Lincoln, right there by the L tracks. That was where I did most of my significant drinking at that time. And then now Albany Park, two different places in Albany Park, correct?
Yeah, but just like a street apart.
Yeah. Okay, well, Dan, you grew up in Jefferson Park.
Right, so I've got, you know, we talk about the circular nature of things.
Yeah.
So I actually was, my parents lived in North Center when I was born.
Okay, and explain where North Center
North
is.
North Center, for us, it was Irving and Western.
Yeah, so the Irving-Western-Damon intersection,
right,
is, yeah, part of North Center. Yeah.
Right, so we lived at Irving and Damon. And so I was born there. We moved to Jeff Park when I was going into first grade. When I left, I initially moved into Lincoln Square.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Albany Park, and then I moved in North Center, and then I moved back to Jefferson Park.
So now you're back in Jefferson Park.
Right. So, like, literally, like, my dad grew up in North Center, and he moved to Jefferson Park, and then I grew up in Jefferson Park, moved to North Center, and
I
then
see.
Moved back to Jefferson
That's
Park.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Where did you live in Albany Park?
I lived at Irving and Kedzie, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And And was Lincoln Square, was that your landlord was?
Yes, Georgie Porgy.
Georgie Porgy was your landlord.
In my Lincoln Square apartment.
Where did you live in Lincoln Square?
I lived on Argyle, so just by the where Lincoln separates, and you got the McDonald's and the Ace Hardware there.
Oh, yeah, I know that area very well.
Right.
Ricochet's is right down the street from there. Yes.
Right.
I know exactly where that is. Lincoln Square was a neighborhood that I hung out in a lot, even when I was a kid, because I used to walk to the Davis and then go to what used to be the Hild Library, which is now the Old Town School of Folk. That used to be the Hild Library.
Right.
That was my Saturday. Me and my friend Dan Long, not the Dan Long that works here. We would go up to the Hild Library, get some books, and then see whatever movies were playing at the Davis, and then walk back.
Right. We'd do the Davis and Garcia's.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there you go. That makes sense. So I lived in, and I think a couple of places I don't think have names. We'll try and figure it out, Dan. Maybe we can do, and we're talking about neighborhoods, and we'll give you some history about them and how they got their names and all that cool stuff. Grew up in West Lakeview. And then moved to, now here's one that I don't know if it has a name. If anybody knows if there's a neighborhood name for the area of Grand Avenue and Central, where the police station is. I don't know, is there still a police station there, Grand and Central? Because that used to be like a police headquarters right there, Grand and Central. We were west of that. We were on Mango. So it was between Grand Avenue. It was on Grand Avenue. We were just off of Grand Avenue, like just the south of Grand Avenue, on Mango, Grand Avenue between Central and Austin. So I don't know if there's a name for that neighborhood, but that's where I spent. You know, I lived there for a little while, for a while. So I don't know if there's a name for that Grand Village. Maybe I don't know, but yeah. So. That's where I lived for a while. And then now this next one, I don't know if it's got a name or a neighborhood name, but it's Oaken and I lived in the Honeybee Complex, So I don't know if the neighborhood's called the Honeybee Complex, but anyway, we lived in the Honeybee Complex. Yes, the Honeybee Complex, which was Foster, west of Cumberland. That's almost, you know, that's like almost Norwich. Right? I mean, wouldn't that be almost Norwich or like O'Hare?
Yeah, it is. It is, I believe, technically Norwich.
It's technically Norwich. So, okay, that's then like technically like a suburb? Is Norwich considered a suburb or is it a neighborhood and
it's
a Norwich?
It's a
suburb. Okay, yeah. So I guess that's Norwich. Then I lived in Norwich. And then moved from there to Andersonville at like near Foster and Ashland. And lived there. I loved that neighborhood. Loved Andersonville. I still love that neighborhood. I loved living in Andersonville. It was one of my favorite places to live. Then moved to Albany Park when we were at Wilson in St. Louis. Essentially in Albany Park, Wilson in St. Louis. And now I live in Old Irving Park, which is just east of the Six Corners neighborhood and just east of Jefferson Park.
Thanks to Esmeralda, who found this really cool Chicago map thing. According, your Grand and Central would have been Belmont Central. Belmont Central is the neighborhood / Belmont Cragen.
You know what? I've heard Belmont Cragen before. So so that would have been that neighborhood.
And it literally was the border. Across Central would be Hanson Park.
Hanson Park, because there was a Hanson Park right there. Yeah, Hanson Park was right there. In fact, my dad played softball at Hanson Park when he was younger. So those are the neighborhoods that I have lived in the city. And I've always lived in Chicago, except for that period of time when I didn't realize I lived in Norwich. I've always maintained that I've never lived outside of the city, but evidently I did. I lived in Norwich for a few years at the Honeybee Complex. So, and we've got how a lot of the Chicago neighborhoods got their names, and we also have like a list from Culture Trip talking about the coolest neighborhoods to hang out in and live in. And we want to hear from you guys. What were your favorite neighborhoods, either growing up or where you live now? And what neighborhoods, if you don't live in them, what neighborhoods do you love to visit here in the city? Because there are so many really cool ones and diverse ones. So we want to hear from you. So give us a call right now at 312-981-7200. Call us or text us. We're talking about Chicago neighborhoods, and we'll get to their history and your thoughts on them as well. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. This is a deep cut right here. That's Margaret in Bridgeport. That's Elton John, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, title track from that album. It is Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. That's one artist, three songs. You pick it. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So we are talking about Chicago neighborhoods and some of the really cool ones that that people love. And, you know, one that some of these are really close. I'm trying to remember when they got these names. Like Lincoln Square. Lincoln Square was, I want to say that it was called something else before it was Lincoln Square. But I'll look up Lincoln Square here and see what's where they get their name from. Lincoln Square, the area was, now get this. You ready for this, Esmeralda? That area was originally known as Celeryville or Pickle Town.
Wow.
That was in the 1800s. At the time, proud farmers claimed it was the celery capital of the United States. Eventually, the cluster of neighborhoods around Celeryville and Pickletown took the name of their main commuter road that ran through it, and that would be Lincoln Avenue. So that's Lincoln Square. I like that, though. I live in Celeryville. Or actually, I would prefer Pickletown. So that's pretty cool. It used to be called Pickletown. So I guess some of the hippest neighborhoods at this point would be, and we mentioned Pilsen. Logan Square has got to be considered one of the hippest parts of the city. Then again, there was a time when it wasn't, but Logan Square is, you know, loaded with restaurants and places to go, and you got the Logan Theater, and that has become, you know, kind of a hipster paradise over the past few years. And of course, Wicker Park. Wicker Park is well known as the city's premier hipster haven, thanks to its copious vintage boutiques, vegetarian restaurants, and artisan donut shops. Stroll the tree-lined streets, check out some shops, then grab a seat at Big Star to eat tacos on what is arguably one of the city's best patios.
Now, I lived there, Nick.
You lived in Wicker Park?
Late 90s. Kind of when it was going through its gentrification phase. That's right when it was still very, it was a lot different than it is now.
Oh, yeah. No. I know. I had friends who lived in Wicker Park in the early 90s, completely different than it is.
Completely. Now. And my brother and I, we lived in an artist compound, the Flatiron Building.
Oh, you lived in, that's right. You said that before, that you lived in the Flatiron Building. That's cool.
The coolest thing about my memories there is we used to just stick our head out the window to look at the marquee of the double door to see who was playing that night and decide whether or not we wanted to go.
That's pretty cool.
That was great.
No, that's a great... I mean, the Flatiron Building is amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, it must have been cool to live there.
So cool, man. You'd walk around. You know, there were only 10 people that actually lived in the building. There were only 10 units that had you know, turned into apartments. The rest, there were like 50 units that were just artist studios.
Galleries and stuff.
But you could walk through at night, and there'd be people in the halls playing guitar just randomly, or a cello, or a violin. Yeah. There was music always in the halls. It was great. Sometimes student artists would have their studio open and just, you know, go in and talk about art. Yeah. And, you know, my brother was a photographer at the time. So,
How long did you live there?
We lived there 2 years on Milwaukee Avenue there, North Avenue, Milwaukee and Damon.
Yeah. And what other neighborhoods did you live in Chicago?
After that, well, we also lived in Albany Park up where Esmeralda lives. Okay. We lived at Montrose and Kimball for a while. And then now downtown in the Loop. We live downtown now. Yeah. So.
That must be it. Must be interesting to live down in the Loop.
We love it where we're at.
Yeah,
yeah. Lakeshore East is a great, you know, neighborhood. It's great. That's so. But we still love to get out to the neighborhoods. You know.
Oh, well, there's so many of them.
It feels like you're just like a weight lifted off your shoulders.
Sure.
After being downtown, it's just so busy downtown. But you get out to the neighborhoods, and it just feels like this is kind of like real life. You know?
That's the thing. I've always thought that I wouldn't be really happy living downtown.
Right. I get it. No, I get it.
I mean, I'd have to have sort of that neighborhood feel.
Now, that's the cool thing, though, about where we live. It's at the end of Randolph, all the way at the lake. So you're not It's not like we looked at an apartment just down the road from the Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue, mm-hmm. but we just felt like, boy, you walk out of your front door every morning and people, the hustle and bustle of Michigan Avenue, that would not feel like home to me. So where we found an apartment is very, very secluded off the busy path, and it's just it's not a through street or anything like that. It's great.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, that. My ex-wife, when I first started dating her, she lived in, I guess, Bucktown. I mean, it was within walking distance of that of the intersection, the Wicker Park intersection, the big intersection with the Flatiron Building where you're talking about.
Right.
When I first started hanging out with her, she was at like North Avenue, just east of Western. So I still think that's Bucktown, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And that's where she lived. She lived like right off of North Avenue, and near and just east of Western.
And Bucktown was cool back then. I've been there a while, but yeah, it was a cool neighborhood.
She was living in the neighborhood. I remember she was telling me stories because she was living in the neighborhood when I first met her. It was 2000. We first started dating in 2004, and she'd lived there for a little while before all that. She was there when they were when the Real World was filming.
That's when I was there. And listen, I got a Real World story,
okay,
actually.
Hold on a second. Hold on to that one, okay, Vic? Hold on.
Got it.
And my ex Heather lived there during that time period, and there's some stories there. We're talking about neighborhoods. We want to hear from you. Where did you live? Which ones do you love? Which ones do you hang out at? And we've got some history and where they got their names, at Pickle Village or whatever the hell that was. All right, we'll take a break. News is next. It's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. And it's Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And my main man, Steve Cochran, has your morning drive at 6. It's Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. Lulu requests Quincy Jones, I Know Carita. And there you go. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you'd like to call in or text, if you would like to know what neighborhood you live in Chicago, how it's got its name, I have how Chicago neighborhoods got their name here. I have the stories behind them. If you are interested in a neighborhood that you hang out in or you grew up in or you live in right now, and if you're interested in historically how it got its name, give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. We've been talking about neighborhoods here. And Vic was, before was talking about how he lived in the Flatiron Building for a while in Wicker Park. And I was saying that when I started dating my ex-wife, Heather, she lived just off North Avenue, just east of Western. And we hung out in Wicker Park pretty frequently. And she would tell me stories about how she lived there when they were filming The Real World. The first time they were in Chicago when they were in Wicker Park. And one of the, I'll tell you this, Vic, one of the distinctive things, and Esmeralda, you probably remember this too, because we both stopped watching Real World at Vegas after the, right? That's when you stopped, was mm-hmm. after Vegas. But so I did watch the Chicago one, the first Chicago. Wasn't there another Chicago? Didn't they come back to Chicago?
I believe they did.
Yeah, I can't remember where they lived in that one. But I didn't watch it because I'd had it with the show at that point. But anyway, this is the interesting thing. Maybe you'll probably remember this, Esmeralda, having watched it, that's the only Real World cast that was allowed to watch television at one point because they were living there during 9/11. They were filming during 9/11. So that's the only cast that was given a look at the, at the outside world and watch television and have, contact with other people via, phones or internet or anything like that, because 9/11 happened. And part of the, part of one of the episodes was them actually watching on a small, TV in the house, watching what was happening in New York. And that was the only time that they ever did that. So that was right around the time period that they lived there. They lived there in 2001. And so you have a Real World story. Vic,
I had an encounter with one of the cast members when they were filming. So it's not a great story, but I was walking out of my building. We were going, my brother and I were going to go to one of the fine dining restaurants there called Flash Taco.
Are you kidding me? That place rules.
It does. A lot of people think it's, but I'm telling you, at a, maybe around midnight, one in the morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you don't go into Flash Taco, get a hot dog from the hot dog dude right outside of Flash Taco.
That's right.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, you can get a couple of hot dogs from the hot dog dude.
Yes. I don't know if that's all still there. Probably not.
It's all gone.
Yeah.
For the better.
No, I disagree. A lot of people would disagree with that.
Flash Taco
was famous. Everybody went there at a certain hour.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a late night joint, obviously.
It
was a late night joint.
What about the hot dog? What about the hot dog joint in the Flatiron Building?
Yeah, you had to go downstairs for one of them. I can't remember which one was downstairs.
Yeah.
But that was across the street.
It was right.
No. Same building. It was in the same building. There was Flash Taco.
It wasn't in the Flatiron.
No. Yeah, you're right. Across the street. No, yeah. The Flash Taco restaurant, and then below was, I guess, hot dog, or it was vice versa. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're walking around, and
to go to Flash Taco.
Yeah, we're walking around. We're rounding the corner, and I had to look his name up. I had to Google him. But it was Theo Gant, III.
Okay.
That's the one we ran into. And he had one camera with him. It wasn't like a huge crew. They weren't following him a lot. But I guess all of them are always with a cameraman.
Oh, yeah.
He had his cameraman. And we hung out for like 30 minutes. He took us into the real world flat. We got a little tour. And then we walked, instead of going to Flash Taco, with him to a bar that was kind of across the street from the Flatiron Building. I can't remember the name of that one either, but and hung out for a little bit, and then he joined the rest of his crew, and we went on with our night. He was very polite, very nice guy.
And you went into the house that they were living in?
Yeah, he gave us a quick little tour.
That's
of
pretty
it.
Cool.
Very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, experience.
Now, you didn't make the TV show, though.
We did not. We watched for it, but I guess we weren't exciting enough. So.
If you went to Flash Taco, it might have been more exciting.
Right, we should have went there.
Yeah. My stories, Heather's stories, were a little bit different because evidently a lot of people who lived in the neighborhood were not happy that the Real World was being filmed there. Like a lot of the people were anti-Real World and didn't want them around, so they did everything in their powers to screw up the shots and to disrupt the filming.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I mean, it was happening. Heather told me it happened all the time. She participated in it.
There was a big pushback against it. A lot of people in the neighborhood didn't want that. In fact, I was telling you last time we talked about it, when Starbucks was moving to the neighborhood, they got a brick through their window during construction 3 times. They had to replace the front window.
Yeah, I remember when I was living in Andersonville and the first Starbucks opened up, it used to be a florist. And it was a florist that had been in that building forever, and it was the first time, any sort of corporate, store showed up in Andersonville. Andersonville was a bunch of independent, when I was living there, it was a bunch of independent stores, many of which were run by Swedes, and there was like a vacuum cleaner repair shop. Right on Clark, there was a resale shop, that had all kinds of like antiques and stuff in it. That closed down. All of these independent things, and they started to slowly, as many neighborhoods do, they started to slowly, gentrify it. And I remember when the first Starbucks was, they were saying that the first Starbucks was coming, people were so angry. It was like everybody in the neighborhood was so mad. And they would, we would sit at Simon's and bitch about the Starbucks is going to show up. This place is going to, Andersonville is going to turn into Lincoln Park. And it kind of did.
It does. That's what happens. It's the same thing happened to Wicker Park.
But yeah, in Wicker Park. I mean, I remember when it was like dangerous to hang out in Wicker Park. You remember I was telling you guys the story about how, when we were talking about roommates, and I was talking about those idiots that I knew that lived, like there were 7 of them living in a crappy apartment in Uptown. And, there's like mattresses on the floor. It was just like, it was disgusting. They would steal each other's weed and stuff. Well, one of the guys that lived in that Uptown apartment also a couple of years later lived in a terrible apartment in Wicker Park. It was like the same kind of thing except further south. It was the same kind of experience except if you want the Uptown experience, you can get it now in Wicker Park. And that was back in the day when Wicker Park was not at all what it is now. It's interesting to see how these neighborhoods change. I mean, really, it happens everywhere, and it's now move, as most things have done, it's moving further west. A lot of the gentrification now is moving further west, because I can feel it in my neighborhood. I live in Old Irving Park, and you know, and I've lived there for 7 years, and the neighborhood has changed. It's changed a lot since I moved in, and in the past 7 years, and it continues to change. I mean, you know, when I first moved in, there wasn't a Potbelly's / Lou Malnati's across the street from where I lived. That's opened up in the past couple of years. And by the way, you know what else is in that complex? It's you got Potbelly's, you got Lou Malnati's, and Lyft, like a Lyft headquarters is in that building too. So it's like, you know, just feet away from where I live. And things continue to change. We just got to roll with them like REO Speedwagon. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Tom on WGN. Hey, Tom.
How you doing, Nick?
All right. What's up?
Listen, I'm living in a place called Bowmanville. You ever hear of that?
Bowmanville?
Yeah.
Now, where is it?
I don't know. It's just west of, well, south of Rose Hill Cemetery.
Okay.
And it's west of Ravenswood. The tracks is a dividing line.
Yeah, yeah.
Because east of the tracks is Andersonville.
Gotcha. And where'd that name come from? I don't see it on my list here.
That's what I'm calling you about. Yes, you're supposed to tell me.
It's not here. It's not here. I've never heard of that. It might be one of those new ones, you know, that pop
no,
up.
No. You know, it's an old one, but it's small. It's a small area.
Yeah.
That they claim is the lowest crime rate, but don't tell anyone because, you know, the bad guys will come there.
Right. So it's called
Bowmanville. Bowmanville, Bowmanville, and there's a Bowmanville, I don't know, council of some kind where the women have organized something, and they have a garden walk, and it's south of Rose Hill Cemetery.
Okay.
And it's west of Ravenswood, and it's east of Western, and north of Foster. It's a small area, but it's, you know, been there for hundreds of years.
Yeah, apparently 18.
When they advertise homes for sale, when they're in that small area, they label it Andersonville, Lincoln Square, Bowmanville to try to attract everybody.
What were you going to say, Vic?
Apparently, it was developed in the 1850s, and here's where the name comes from. It was a local innkeeper who first started developing that neighborhood. His name was Jesse Bowman.
There you go.
And it's a small area.
It says here, Lincoln Square encompasses the smaller neighborhoods of Ravenswood Gardens, Budlong Woods, and Bowmanville. So technically, that little part is called Bowmanville, but you live in Lincoln Square.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've been there since 54.
Okay.
Although we moved away for 20 years when the kids were growing up. We wanted them out of the public schools because they weren't rated real well.
Yeah.
So we moved. My wife and I moved back about 10 years ago. Into the house that I grew up in.
Oh, wow.
Since 54.
Yeah.
And we're going to be selling soon, but it's a two flat. And the homes in the area, they've renovated, you know, they're not yuppies anymore. Yuppies what? Did yuppies all die?
No, they're still around. They're just older now.
Oh, okay.
Yuppies is an 80s term. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, that shows my age. I'm 67.
Yeah.
But, you know, millennials or the
children,
whatever they're called. They move in and they will knock down a home, and put up a McMansion, and you know they're selling for like $1 million, and some you know and they've done a great you know service to the area because it's values have gone up tremendously.
It was
kind of lousy for a while. I mean there was a couple of shootings and a knifing here and there, but you know no bad crime.
Right.
And just north of Balmoral. You familiar with Balmoral Avenue?
I lived at Polina and Balmoral for 14 years. So, yes, I'm familiar.
Okay. Well, that's my stomping ground.
Yeah.
But if you go a little bit west on Balmoral, west of Ravenswood, there's an industrial area.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly where that
Temple,
is.
Yep. Yeah, Temple Steel is there. My son worked at Temple.
Yep.
And I grew up there getting slugs and putting them in the, you know, in the payphones.
Yeah. But that neighborhood right there that you're talking about, I lived on the corner of Balmoral and Palina for 14 years, and went to Pauline's all the time at the corner of Balmoral and Ravenswood, and then on the other side of the tracks at Ravenswood, that's what the industries that you're talking about there. And those guys, all the guys that worked at those places, would go to Simon's after they would get off work. All of those industrial places that were peppered throughout Ravenswood in that area, in that neighborhood, they would all go to Simon's because they could cash their checks at Simon's. That's what the little steel door was. There's a door at Simon's that has a window on it and a big safe in it. And now you can look inside there. If you go to Simon's, you can look inside there. But that's where one of the guys who worked at Simon's would sit. He would cash these guys' checks, and they would go and spend it all at the bar. So they would work all, they would go work all week just a little bit west on Ravenswood at those industrial places. And they would come because Simon's would cash their checks. And then they would just go to the bar and all that money would just go right back into the till. So, all right, I got to run, Tom. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. So there you go. Marco on the southeast side says, I'm from South Deering. It used to be called Irondale, famous for the restaurant Heine's Chicken with hot sauce on it. Heine's? Brian says, I'm from the southwest side of Chicago in Garfield Ridge, which is bordered 51st Street to 59th Street from Central to Harlem, all west of Midway Airport. It's also known as the suburbs of Chicago because it's the furthest southwest you can go while being in a city where most city workers and union tradesmen live. Margaret in Bridgeport says, I have lived in Bridgeport for over 56 years, on and off 1 year in Carbondale. 630 area code says, we got a break. So there you go. That's what the 630 area code thing, reminding me that we have to break. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, whack Captain Whammo. You can get your requests in now. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Lulu requesting Quincy Jones. That's Something Special featuring Patty Austin. So we're talking about Chicago neighborhoods and where they got their names and history and reminiscing. 630 area code says, I'm 72, and when I grew up, there were no neighborhood names. Since I was born until I was 12, I lived at 1048 West Byron, just west of where Sheridan and Sheffield meet, and Sheridan turning east onto the lake. That's right around the corner from where the Mary Archie Theater used to be, right there. Tom says, I was born in Englewood Hospital and live in Gresham, Auburn for 23 of my now 56 years, then Melrose Park, then Villa Park, then Elmwood Park, and now Steger. Tom says, if the Honeybee Complex was on Foster Avenue, then it's still technically Chicago as it serves the direct road into O'Hare. Norwich surrounds it. Well, you know what? My mailing address was Chicago, so that I should have thought of it was Chicago when I lived in the Honeybee Complex. So I have lived in Chicago my whole life. There we go. That's been settled. All right. Here's Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
You guys are keeping all up north in that, except for the one south sider. He mentioned Heine's Chicken.
Yeah.
Actually, originally, Heine started out in a little shack on 90th and Mackinac, which was Route 41, the old one that ran through before all the expressways.
Mm-hmm.
And when the steel mills closed, he moved over to the South Deering area.
Oh, okay.
But, I live in what they call the Millgate. I was raised in Millgate because on 87th and Mackinac was the main gate for U.S. Steel, which was Carnegie before it was U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have from 86th to 83rd, from the Mills to Exchange Avenue, was called the Bush.
Okay.
And we go south a little, and we over the bridge, it's the east side, into Hagwish, and that was all industrial in there before they came in and took out industries. We had Solo Cup over here, General Mills. There was four or five different steel mills, and on 117th and Avenue O, they have the monument there for the steel workers that were fighting for a union and were shot during that Memorial Day strike they had.
Okay.
And it's really nice. We're very close to all the tollways. I'm only about a mile and a half from the Indiana Toll Road.
Right.
And I'm about, maybe 7 minutes from the Chicago Skyway. Not too far, maybe 15, 20 minutes to 57.
Mm-hmm.
And going over into 94 South. And in our neighborhood here, we've lost a lot, but the movie from The Fugitive, Andy Davis directed it.
Yeah.
Well, Andy's a product of the South Side area here.
Yep.
He graduated Bowen High School. And it was filmed, part of it, over here.
Well, he films a lot. He filmed a lot on the South Side. The guy, you know, the guy made a movie. His first movie out of the gate was called Stony Island. That was the first movie that Andy Davis directed. He's a famous Southsider. Okay, we got a break for the news. Linda, thanks for the call. I had to sneeze, right at that moment. Linda, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Representing the South Side. I know us Northsiders were dominating the conversation here. All right, we're going to take a break. News is up next. All right. Hi. Hey. The hell's going on? Hey, it's Nick DiGilio here. Welcome back. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18th floor, 303 Wacker Drive. Our new dig's awesome. And that is Lulu requesting Quincy Jones with Razzmatazz because it's Triple Play Thursday. And that's one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. Having some fun talking about Chicago's neighborhoods. And some of our favorites to hang out in, to live in, that we grew up in. And I've got the history of where these names came from, where the neighborhood names came from. And I'm going to go through some of them now. But if you want to ask, you know, a specific neighborhood maybe that you grew up in or you live in right now, where the name came from, a lot of these are kind of interesting stories, you know, especially the fact that that Lincoln Square was once known as Celeryville. Or Pickle Town. I think they should go back to that. I think they should. Dan, don't you think they should go back to I live in Pickle Town?
Yes, I absolutely do. then they can get the Sonic to come over and serve the pickle slushies. And
yeah, get the pickle slushies. We still have to try that, by the way.
Reboot the Pickle Festival.
That's right. Right there in Lincoln Square. Pickle Town. So... All right, we mentioned Andersonville several times here during this. It's a neighborhood that's very, very popular, and I resided there for a while, a long while, and it was great to live there. Here's how Andersonville got their name. After the Chicago Fire, many of the city's Swedes moved to this area on the north side to rebuild their lives. It is believed that the neighborhood is named after Reverend Paul Anderson Norland, who was integral in attracting folks to the community during these early years. The interesting thing, though, is that Reverend Paul Anderson Norland's name there is spelled A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N. Andersonville has an O. So that seems weird. But that's who they named it after. All right, what about Archer Heights? Named after Archer Avenue, which itself was named after William Beatty Archer, the first commissioner of the Illinois and Michigan Canal. Ashburn. Not the most glamorous of origins, but in the 1800s, Chicago families would dump their furnace ashes in this area, and the name Ashburn stuck. what else do we got? How about Avalon Park? This neighborhood was originally named Pennytown for Penny, a local general store owner who also sold popcorn balls. The area's Avalon Park Community Church lobbied to have that name changed, and Pennytown are no more. They should have called it Popcorn Ball Village. Don't you think that would have been? Going to Pickletown, and then I'm going to go to Popcorn Balls Village. Pennytown. I think Pennytown is kind of a fun name. Well, this one's obvious. Back of the Yards. This is obvious. Named for its location in relation to the famed Union Stockyards, this neighborhood was home to the most yards workers. It's where hog butchers for the world rested their heads at night. Beverly, a lot of people live in Beverly here and listen to the show from there. This is some argument. There is some argument as to whether this neighborhood is named after Beverly, Massachusetts, or Beverly Hills, California. It's often referred to as Beverly Hills because it sits on a glacial ridge that, at 672 feet, is the tallest natural point in Chicago. Wow, I didn't know that. What's there? Anybody know what's there? At the tallest natural point in Chicago? If anybody from Beverly, you ever been there? Do they have like a marking that says, "Hey, you're at the tallest part of the city"? You know what you got to do there is put up a skyscraper. Put up a tall building at the tallest natural point in Chicago. Call it Beverly Manor. I think I can become a city planner, Dan.
Just like that.
All those dreams that I had of becoming a city planner are now coming to fruition.
All these years you've trained, these years you've studied, never mentioned it once in your 30-plus years on the radio.
Yep.
But here it was in the 3:39 at 6:20 on 6:28.
Yeah, I decided now is the time to talk about it. I've been secretly doing this. Boys Town, this is not a hard one. Boys Town neighborhood. This informal colloquial name for the LGBT community area that stretches along North Halsted Street started being used in the 1970s around the first time of the Gay Pride Parade. Old Boys Town. Bridgeport, we had a report from Bridgeport already. This area was a fur trading outpost named Hard Scrabble for years until it officially became the town of Bridgeport in 1836. Some insist that it's named after a bridge that spanned a canal or near Ashland Avenue. There are no records of this bridge ever existing, however, leaving doubt to this explanation. Hard Scrabble? Wow. Hard Scrabble, that's when you get nothing but X's and Q's on your tiles. Hold on a minute, wait. Hold it. Hold on. Get it, Dan? Hard Scrabble?
You're such a brilliant wordsmith and city planner.
Bucktown. Early Polish immigrants raised goats in the area and called it Cozy Peary or Goat Plain. The name evolved to Bucktown as buck is the term for a male goat. No goats remain today unless they're served in gourmet tacos. I didn't know that's where Bucktown came from. That's a pretty cool explanation. How about Burnside? Illinois Central Railroad built a station in the area and named it after Civil War General Ambrose Burnside, who also worked as the railroad's treasurer. Colonel W.W. Jacobs divided the neighborhood in 1887 and named it after the station. How about Canaryville? Depending on who you ask, this neighborhood was named either for the sparrows which populated it or for the roving gangs of violent teens dubbed the Wild Canaries in the late 1800s. Hey, Esmeralda, that's a real threatening gang name, isn't it?
Watch out. Very much so.
It's the Wild Canaries. You don't want to go into that neighborhood. You might run into the Wild Canaries. If you guys have a neighborhood that you're wondering about, 312-981-7200. Sandy says, I lived in Ravenswood, and I love talking to the Uptown and the Riviera. Well, they're not in Ravenswood. That's Uptown.
That might have been walking.
Oh, walking. Oh, I see. I lived in Ravenswood, and I loved walking to the Uptown and to the Riviera. Uptown, that's an interesting neighborhood, man. Still is. You know, that I'll tell you what. That's a neighborhood. I think this is what I think about Uptown. I think Uptown is a neighborhood that will never, ever be completely gentrified. Do you know what I mean? That's still like a real sort of neighborhood that has not completely demolished out ethnicities or weirdness. Uptown's a weird neighborhood, man, and they've tried. Let's throw a Borders here and see what happens, and that didn't work out very well. And let's try this here, and that closed down. That still feels like when you're in Uptown, you're like, yeah, man, this is still kind of a genuine neighborhood. Good block, bad block, weirdo hanging out there. Hang out in front of the Truman College there for about an hour and a half around midnight. Tell me that Uptown still isn't spicy, because it is. No question about it. All right, what do we got here? Dave in Oak Creek said, where did the Viagra Triangle get its name, and where is it? The Viagra Triangle is Russian Oak. Rush Oak and, why am I blanking on the other street? State? Yeah, State Russian Oak. That's the Viagra Triangle. It's called the Viagra Triangle because the bars and restaurants that populated that area, I don't know if it's the same now, that populated that area were visited by, usually pretty well-off older dudes trying to pick up young chicks. So that's why it was called the Viagra Triangle, because there weren't, it catered, that area was populated mostly by older gentlemen who would hang out there at, go have a steak and then, go to, is it Gillies? Gillies. Gillies is the bar in Urban Cowboy where they ride the mechanical bull. That's Gillies. Gillies. As part of one of those bars in the Viagra Triangle, and that were mostly populated by older dudes, hence they need some Viagra, and that's why it was called the Viagra Triangle at State Russian Oak. And by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, Dan, but Heather worked at Gillies for a while.
Oh,
yeah. She, and I remember when we first started dating. It was about, I don't know, we were dating for about 6 months at this point, and I think she was, like, going through her closet or something, and she pulled out the outfit that she had to wear, that she had to wear at Gillies, and she holed up the hanger, and there was barely anything on the hanger. And she's like, at this point, I can't fit my leg into this thing. But she was like, when she was working at Gillies, she was ridiculously skinny, and so, and she had this little teeny outfit that she had to wear at Gillies. All for the Viagra Triangle, but she made a lot of money. She said she made a ton of money at that place. So that's the Viagra Triangle. In case I don't know if it's still like that though, I would imagine it is. My guess is that I think that it's pretty. But that used to be the Esquire Theater. Used to be right down the street from there, right on Oak. So, all right, that was the Viagra Theater. No, it wasn't. All right, we have to break here. We got weather and we got traffic, and we're talking neighborhoods. We got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And more origins and where neighborhood names came from. And reminiscing about some of the neighborhoods that we either grew up in or love hanging out in. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. 18th floor, 303 Wacker. Overlooking a beautiful downtown Chicago. And speaking of Chicago, we have been talking about neighborhoods and reminiscing and talking about the neighborhoods we lived in, grew up in, neighborhoods that we love to hang out in, and talking about the history of some of these and how they got their names. And we got some texts coming in. If you want to call us or text us, you want to know where a name came from or reminisce about a neighborhood that you particularly like here in Chicago, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Chris from Midway asking, how about Canaryville? We talked about that one already. It's either about the sparrows or the wild canaries roving gangs of violent teens. Well, Dan, don't you think they should make a movie out of the wild canaries?
I'm surprised they haven't.
Late 1800s, gangs running around, teenagers running around.
I mean, and that's the funny thing. They were probably extremely, vicious, and that's the kind of funny thing. Now it's like, Canaryville, but I'd imagine that if you did walk down the street and saw them, I would crap my pants.
Yeah. 773 area code says, hi, I live in Calumet Heights and would like to know how it got its name. It's located between Pill Hill and South Chicago. Now, similar to Bowmanville, which we talked about earlier, Calumet Heights is considered part of Pill Hill. It was named for all the doctors who called the neighborhood home. So wait a minute. They named it because there were a lot of doctors that lived there who would prescribe pills, right? That's a pretty good origin story. I got to say, that's pretty cool. It's called Pill Hill because doctors lived there and would just throw pills around and give many to the wild canaries, which explain their behavior. We lived in the Austin neighborhood in the 70s. Our phone number at the time was Austin 71157 from the 50s into the 70s. Named for Henry W. Austin, the real estate mogul who acquired a subdivided land in 1866. The area was originally in the township of Cicero. Austin held the most power in that municipality, and its politicians brought major roads and elevated trains to the neighborhood. The other Cicero citizens objected and voted to expel Austin and have it annexed into Chicago. Oh, boy. That's an interesting, that's a crazy story right there. Wow. Okay. Hey, do you, Dan, speaking of which, this is a person who remembers their phone number. Do you remember your phone number growing up? What your phone number was when you were a kid?
I do because my parents still live there.
Oh, okay. So. Well, then let's not give it out on the air then. Esmeralda, do you remember your childhood phone number?
Yeah, it's still the same.
Oh, it's still the same. Oh, okay. All right. Well, mine's not, so I can tell you what it was. Mine was, wait a minute now. Oh, no. I think I forgot it. It was the prefix was 472. 472-68. 472-6839, I think. I remember Dan Long's number. It was 472-5516. I remember that. But yeah. So it's 472-6837. 37, that's what it is. 472-6837.
Esmeralda, do you remember your best friend's phone number?
Oh, no.
I do remember my best friend's phone number, and his parents still live there. So
you can't give it up? Oh, man.
And then that you youngsters, was the home phone number, not the cell phone.
Oh, this was a home number. No, this was not a cell phone.
So, you know, my friend Tim, his dad was also Tim, so I always had to ask for Tim Jr., even though nobody called him Tim Jr., you know?
That's, you know, I don't know if that ever happened when my friend... No, it didn't happen when I was a kid. You know why?
Because you were Nicky?
I was Nicky, yeah. So when I was a kid, up until I was about 13, I was like, stop the Nicky stuff. Stop it. I still have a couple of cousins who still call me Nicky because they've known me since, you know, I was Nicky. And they know that I love the Adam Sandler movie Little Nicky. No, I'm kidding. That's the one where he plays the devil, right? Little Nicky?
That is correct, yes.
Isn't Harvey Keitel in that movie?
I believe so, yes.
What the hell's going on? Now, were you ever Danny?
There are two people who call me Danny, but what was funny is one of them was Mrs. Barrett is the part of the family that introduced Eileen and I. So Eileen initially called me Danny because she thought that's what everybody called
me. You're kidding. That's fantastic. Yeah. You were Danny for a while?
So she eventually she kind of figured out when everybody else was just calling me Dan. But
right.
Mrs. Barrett calls me Danny, and Mrs. Barrett, her daughter, is Eileen's best friend and close family friend to us.
That's awesome. See, for me, I mean, I actually, in all honesty, I prefer Nicholas. I love Nicholas, but it's too late to have somebody. I had a girlfriend who called me Nicholas, which I thought was kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, I was Nicky when I was a kid. And I guess one of the main reasons I was Nicky was because of my dad. My dad's name is Nick as well. So I think that's why I was Nicky and also Little Nick. I was Little Nick when, you know, among my parents' friends, like the adult friends that my parents hung out with, I was like, it's Little Nick. And it worked out too, 'cause I'm a small dude. So. So, man, yeah, Little Nick. That was a lot of fun having that nickname. But yeah, I prefer Nicholas or Olus, as if I'm going to be Topher, if I'm going to be like Topher Grace, whose real name is Christopher Grace, and then Christopher Grace Topher, what's his last name? Grace, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So Christopher is his real name, but he goes by Topher.
Did anybody ever call you Merle, Esmeralda?
Yeah, in college.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I know Patty calls you Ez.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I call you by your full name. Is that okay?
No.
All right.
You may not call me by my full God-given name.
I don't know if anybody else is calling you Merle or Ez. I don't want to feel like a, you know. But I think your name's beautiful. That's why I like to say the whole thing.
I'll let my parents know.
Let them know. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. 773 air code requesting The Offspring with Come Out and Play. Yeah. It is Thursday, and we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. And I will have my weekly visit with Mr. Cochran and the gang at 6:20. I am happy to visit with Steve Cochran on the Steve Cochran Show every Thursday morning, and we'll do that at around 6:20 this morning. Stay tuned for that. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in here for talk or text, 312-981-7200. We have been talking about, having a lot of fun talking about our favorite neighborhoods, the neighborhoods that we grew up in here in Chicago or that we like to visit or that we live in now. And I've got some behind-the-scenes stuff on how the names of some of these neighborhoods were given. And let's go to Jefferson Park. Dan, this is the neighborhood you grew up in and currently live in.
Correct.
And, of course, the neighborhood where George Karzis runs the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. In fact, right across the street from the Jefferson Park CTA Village. And it really is a village because there's buses and trains and people. So anyway, Jefferson Park, originally called Jefferson Township, this independent area was named after Thomas Jefferson and was separate from Chicago until 1889 when it was incorporated by the city. They have a lovely little Jefferson, he's not little, a Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson statue right there at the terminal. You can see him standing there. And not only that, but John Williams is doing a little Thomas Jefferson stuff. He's got some Thomas Jefferson visits coming up. So there you go. So that's where Jefferson Park comes from. I think we knew that one, though, right? All right, how about Lincoln Park? Lincoln Park was originally a cemetery for cholera and smallpox victims. So I can see not much has changed. Shallow graves located so close to the city's water supply rightly raised some alarms, so Chicago began converting it into a massive park called Lake Park in the 1860s. After Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, the park was renamed in his honor. That is history that I did not know. Dan, did you know that?
I did not.
Wow. All right, Lakeview. That's where I grew up. I would say West Lakeview. Lakeview, named for the Hotel Lakeview, which was built in 1854 on what is now the convergence of Sheridan Road and Lakeshore Drive. That one's not as interesting as Lincoln Park. That background story is not as interesting as Lincoln Park. All right, let's see. We got a whole bunch of texts that have come in. Tim says, I worked in one of those industrial businesses in Lakeview. Appleton Electric. Oh, yeah, I remember Appleton Electric. Absolutely remember Appleton Electric. It was a 1 million square foot company located at Palina and Wellington. I had 3 shifts 5 days a week. 3 shifts 5 days a week? Did you sleep? Wow. Pat from Joliet says, when I was growing up in the southwest suburbs, we didn't refer to where people lived by neighborhoods, but by the church parish that they lived in. Is that a thing? Is that a suburb thing, or is that a city thing as well?
That's how I knew people.
Is that
growing
right?
Up.
What was your parish?
Bellarmine. St. Robert Bellarmine.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. But it would be, you know, Constance kids or Bellarmine kids or...
Really?
Yep. My dad's a Ben's kid.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. Well, you know what? I mean, I guess that's because I didn't go to church. I didn't go to church. I guess that's what it is. Is that a Catholic thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly a Catholic thing, right? Okay.
I mean, I've heard other denominations do it, but it's primarily Catholic, yeah.
Okay. 312 area code says, I live in Streeterville, but Captain John Streeter was a horrible person to murder. He was a murderer, a bootlegger, and a bunch of other offenses. So here's what it is. Cap George Wellington Streeter was a boat captain along the Mississippi River and a classic big-time jerk. Legend has it that he and his wife, Ma Streeter, were cruising in their boat around Lake Michigan in 1886 when they hit a sandbar. Others maintain Streeter deliberately crashed his boat into the shoreline. The couple decided to stay put. Silt accumulated around the ship as soon as the land bridge connected to them to Chicago. At that time, the city was filling in the lake with that area to build Lakeshore Drive. Cap Streeter was having none of it, and he defended the swampy dump around his boat with a shotgun. aided by the liquid courage he was known to pull from liberally. Jeez. Cap had multiple standoffs with authorities before finally being arrested and tried. Despite having the land stripped from him by court, Cap had the last laugh. The neighborhood is named after him to this day. Oh, man, that's terrible. That's terrible. So he'd get drunk and stand out there with a shotgun going, "This is my home." And it's now called Streeterville. 847 area code says, where and why is Goose Island? What and why is Goose Island? Goose Island is an actual island located in the north branch of the Chicago River. It was created when William Ogden, Chicago's first mayor, built an auxiliary canal to facilitate shipping routes. The name Goose Island comes from a separate, smaller island in the river, but the name was soon attached to the man-made landmass that squatters moved from the old island to the new one. The term comes from the abundant geese that they hunted. There you go. Let's see. Here's a couple more here. Edison Park. Dan, you're not far from Edison Park, right?
Correct. Just up the road.
And that's where Andrea Darlis,
yes,
is camped out. She
right.
moved from downtown. She lived downtown with Mr. T. Well, not with Mr. T, but in the same...
Can't be too sure.
Now, so Edison Park, etiquette states that you should wait for someone to die before you name your town after them. But in 1890, the citizens of Edison Park eschewed manners and named their village after the very much alive inventor. Given that nobody loved Thomas Edison more than Thomas Edison, he gladly gave the township his blessing. All right. Edgewater. This north side neighborhood hugging Lake Michigan was dubbed Edgewater in 1885 by John Lewis Cochran, a tobacco salesman from Philadelphia who purchased and subdivided much of the land. Remember that name. Old John Lewis Cochran comes up a lot when talking about the origins of Chicago's north side. All right. John Lewis Cochran. I wonder if Steve is related to him in any capacity.
Yes.
Oh, you're just going to say that?
I'm just going to say yes.
773 area code says, how about Saugeenash, the Saugeenash neighborhood? Potawatomi Chief Saugeenash was born in Canada in 1780 to a Wyandotte mother and an Irish father. Saugeenash means the Englishman. He moved to Chicago in 1820 and became a prominent citizen during the city's early days and was elected as Justice of the Peace. The government granted him a 1,200-acre reservation along the Chicago River, and part of the area bears his name to this day. 608 area code wanted to know about Edison Park. We talked about that one. 815 area code wants to know about Pilsen, which, by the way, how this whole conversation started was, if in case you didn't hear us a little bit earlier on, Pilsen has been named by Forbes magazine as one of the 12 best neighborhoods in the world. Not in the state or in the country, in the world. It's in the 12 best neighborhoods in the world. So Pilsen, manufacturing jobs became brought thousands of immigrants to this area in the 1870s. Many were Czechs, and they came to call the area Pilsen after the second biggest city in West Bohemia. Soon that morphed into Pilsen, which persevered. 630 area code, what about Logan Square? A square located at the center of the neighborhood is dedicated to John A. Logan, a Civil War general and politician who is credited for popularizing Memorial Day. That square in the center of the neighborhood is where I had some friends who would blow off tons of fireworks every 4th of July. That was where they'd go. They would just go and blow off like $1,000 worth of fireworks for like 2 hours. Right in the middle. Bob and Elgin, my home phone growing up was Sherwood 18686. This was before area codes, by the way. Everything at that point was just like 31. There wasn't even an area code there before those 312 and the 773, the 847. 847 area code says, before area codes, my childhood number was 798-4498. Later, when I partied, if some guy asked for a 9 number, I would give that one if he bugged me. I felt sorry for whoever inherited it. Oh, that's, yeah, people were calling, like, guys were calling looking for her. given that this woman was given them her childhood phone number. So whoever had that number was like, hey, want to go out on a date? Click. We'll take a quick break here on 773. If you want to join us, 312-981-7200. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And that's Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. 773 area code requesting Offspring with Gone Away. All right. So we've been chatting about neighborhoods here on the show, and we're going to talk a couple of food items. We're going to wrap up the neighborhood talk here, and after 4:30, we've got some big news in food and some other funny food stories that we're going to get to close out the show. But we got a few more here neighborhoods that we can talk about. Let's see. Let's find out what New City. This neighborhood gets its name from the University of Chicago sociologist who drew up boundaries for new community areas in the 1920s. Well, the Loop, we all know about that one, Dan. That one we know.
Yep.
The Loop is Chicago's main business district. It's named after the circular route taken by the L lines that service it. Let's see what else we got. North Park. The park this area refers to is Peterson Park, named after Swedish community leader Per Samuel Peterson, which was purchased by the city and turned into the Chicago Municipal Tuberculosis Sanitarium in 1911. Although it doesn't sound like it'd be beautiful, the city purposely preserved the area's natural features to use as a buffer between patients and the rest of the city. What is currently the Nature Center served the sanitarium building until the 70s. Wow. The area remains lush because community activists successfully fought a plan to turn it into bland strip malls and condo buildings in the 80s. North Park is a lovely area. It is. It's hard to believe, though, that the sanitarium was there until the 70s. Oh, wow. Old Town. How about this one? This is a cool area, Old Town. During World War II, the triangle made up by North Avenue, Clark, and Ogden Avenue was designated as a, quote, neighborhood defense unit by Chicago's Civil Defense Agency. After the war, the residents stayed closely bonded and through community art fairs, calling them Old Town Holidays, thus the name Old Town and the name Old Town stuck. All right. Ravenswood. This neighborhood began as one of the city's first suburbs in 1868 when the Ravenswood Land Company, a group of businessmen and developers, started buying up land for residual use. It's not from the overabundance of ravens that fly around?
Apparently not.
That's not what it's for?
Or our encounter with ravens, 2 days ago?
Yeah, when we were walking down... what the hell street were we walking down? Oh, we were walking down Wacker.
Yeah.
We were walking down Wacker, and we saw a few crows. And Esmeralda was like, what the hell is going on with the crows? So, they were black crows, but they weren't brothers.
Hold on a minute. Wait.
As far as we know.
Well, if they were fighting, they would be the Robinsons.
That's true. One of them did have a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
And he actually weighed about as much as Chris Robinson weighs.
Kate Hudson was nearby.
Yep. How about this one? This is about, I live right very, very, I'm right on the border of Portage Park. I live in Old Irving Park, but Portage Park is right there. Originally a park district, the park in the center of the neighborhood remains. The area is named for the nearby portage routes used by fur traders and Native Americans between the Des Plaines and Chicago rivers.
Do you know why Portage Park is a favorite of joggers?
I do not.
Because Portage Park is exactly 1 mile if you...
Square. Oh. You know, I didn't know that, but I should have, because when I was on cross country for that brief period of time, obviously we ran, when we ran Portage Park, we didn't run around the football field or anything at Luther. I went to Luther North, for people who don't know, and that's where we would run. So I guess it was, I guess we would know how many miles we ran based upon how many times
laps
we ran. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Didn't know that. You learn something new every day on this show. This is an educational program. Let's see. Uptown. For most of Chicago's early history, this neighborhood was the northern terminus for commercial rail lines. It became a very popular shopping destination, and wealthy Chicagoans soon flocked to the area and bought up residential property. Finally, Wrigleyville. This one's not... Can you figure this one out? Dan, is it possible?
I don't know. I'll have to put my glasses on.
By the way, where's the Harlem Irving Plaza? Do we know where that is?
I don't know.
Where the hip is? Harlem Irving Plaza? Esmeralda, any guess as to why it's called Wrigleyville?
No. What could possibly be there?
Well, let's see. This is the explanation. This neighborhood is named after Wrigley Field, which was itself named after gum magnate and Chicago Cubs owner William Wrigley in 1926. Oh, is that why it's called Wrigleyville?
I wouldn't have guessed it.
That's brand spanking new news to me. Yeah. And again, Wrigleyville did not exist when I grew up there. It was not a thing. Wrigleyville was not a thing. When did that happen? Can anybody pinpoint when? Because it certainly wasn't, I would say in the 80s. It probably happened in the 80s. Because even when they went as far as they did in 84, it wasn't Wrigleyville. But that's like when things started to change. The mid-80s is when the neighborhood started to change. The team got more, people were showing up at the park. The neighborhood became more popular. Businesses were moving in. That was right around the mid to late 80s. So I think that's probably around the time when people started to refer to it as Wrigleyville. So, all right. Well, there you go. Some really fascinating stuff about neighborhood names.
All right.
Let's take a break here. We got the news coming up next. And then after the news, got some food stories. And there is a snack item that's returning to stores and people are losing their minds over it. And you know, Dan, we've talked about in the past foods and drinks and stuff that people wish would come back.
Yep.
One of the ones that's very near the top of the list every time we have a discussion is coming back. So we'll talk about that and other food items here on WGN after the news, which is after this.